Hey, Shavat, Sunday the 21st of January, Harav Pinchas Breuer on a topical theme. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Kaufman, Lil Nishmas, Mas Finkel, Bas Reb Yitzchok Yehuda, Aleha Shalom.
Pardon me for keeping you in suspense as regards the topic I'm talking about. That problem is I don't know myself what I should say. I don't mean it purposely. I always decide when I see the people and then I get this oiler what they really need to hear. You get me? Oh, okay. So I prepare. I've changed the Shabbos HaGolot Rosh in the last minute as well on the way to the shul. Perhaps that it wasn't appropriate. I think the topic of today as befitting the parsha that we're lining this coming week, is Parsha Shiro, obviously. And I think the topic will be, to a certain extent, Emunah and Bitoch, which are the two fundamental issues on what Yiddish life is all about. Now, there's a little problem. We don't put much emphasis on it, and we don't work too hard to strengthen our emunah. We might be oisik in mitzvahs and learn another shiur, which is also part of being a Jew and behaving like a Jew, but the yesoidus, to know exactly as do our ribbonus shel olam, and in what way, it's a very large topic here, the Chayim Salvovis, and a lot of pages on this all, but we have to think about it a little bit, and I think this week is the right time for it, when you think about the shiur. I have a little deal with the shiur. Oz Yosher Moshe, now Chazal do say that Oz is a Loshon Ova and a Loshon Osit. Interesting enough, Oz has in it double implication. It means Ova, what was and what will be. Oz Teilech Lovetach Takecho, as the Medrash says, which actually implies that the Indian of Bitochen, Lovetach, then Oz has a future. And there's an Oz in the Ova, which also needs an explanation. Yoshia is also an Oz in Osit. We can't clear some Asim in our Torah. Now the question is, what about the Hoiva? We have a present tense as well. We used to learn it. Future, past, and present. There's no talk of the present. There's a talk of the Ova and the Osit. And what do we have to deduce from that? What about the present here? We also find at the end of the Shira a special emphasis on Miriam. And also referring to her as being Achois Aaron, the sister of Aaron. And the Chazal do ask the question, wasn't she sister of Moshe as well? I mean, Achois Aaron. There's Moshe as well, of course. So, Chazal do say that Achois Aaron means that she was a sister of Aaron before Moshe was born, and she was the one actually who had this prophecy that there will be Moshiach and Shal Yisrael will be born to them. But what is the Torah trying to teach us at this point to bring down this this happening that she was Achois Aaron at the time before she was Achois Moshe? Could I have a little explanation on this? Chazal say in the Sof Malkus, it's a very important issue here, fundamental. Chazal say in the Sof Malkus that in all generations, there are certain main points which a person has to deal with and to set that as a foundation for all that he does. And in our Tkufa, which is Achis HaYomim, we're nearer to it than anybody else before us. And we say, we are nearer to it. And there the Bible brings a posik and referring to what Chavoku Kanovi said, Tzadik ve'munoso yichye, bo Chavakuk ve'amidon al achas. Everything is based on this one thing, one fundamental issue, and that's the emunah that a yid has to have. The tzadik ve'amunoso yichye. I want to explain that a little bit. Emunah is not an easy thing, and everybody knows there's a Ramban in Soy Pasha's boy, and I think anybody who's gone through the yeshiva system has heard of that Ramban, because they really, the mashgichim, love this Ramban. Wherever they can get it into, even in Parshas Koirach, it was mentioned this Ramban, even though it's in Boy. The famous Ramban in Kavonas Kola Mitzvahs, the holy word of the Ramban, Kavonas Kola Mitzvahs, Shenamin Ki Shenamin Beilokeinu. Kol Mitzvah Sechu Emuno, Everything leads up to one thing. We have to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I'll tell you the truth, in yeshiva years, those who've been there and understand it, yeshiva years, I think it's more theoretical than practical. In theory, everybody's into the Musa, those who are into it, hopefully. And we think, and we hear, and we darshan. It is Yosef Adoyrus. But we don't practice it in a real way, because we don't have the oil, no yolk. Baruch Hashem, the parents sent you what you need. This emunah is more theory than practice, I think so. When you get out of this world, then it becomes more of a practical issue. That's when emunah has to be practiced. This is poshut hazeh. You ask a person, are you a ma'amin? What are you going to answer? Not only I'm a ma'amin, I'm even ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. I come from a family of ma'aminim, till Avraham Avinu going back there. Everybody would confirm that he's a ma'amin. Yet, there'll be a question asked at the end of everybody's days, whenever it comes about, nososo v'nosato be'emuno. In other words, what you've said and what people say is not enough. You're going to be asked this question when we get up. Did you live with a munah? The source of an asata. A munah doesn't necessarily mean if you were trustworthy and straightforward and honest in your business. That's all your dealings. A munah, the Chef Schweitzer says, a munah means in a munah in kecheo elomim. If you believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your dealings, you put HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the first, as your priority. It's not easy. I'll tell you why. It's a very difficult thing, emunah, more than anything else. It's much more difficult than being mahadar in a mitzvah or looking for the dalet minim, you know, a few weeks before Sukkot, or being mahadar in Pesach to get mehudah di gematzes and a nice pair of tefillin from a sofer, which is very important because diktuk hamitzvahs is part of the Jewish system. But when it comes to emunah, then it's a difficult thing. Emunah, to believe and to live that way, then it's really, really difficult. It's funny to say, and strange to say it, that our whole life on this world, with all the influences, and in the net that we're caught up with, in the world that we are facing today, with all the media, and all that's been said from all sides, especially today in the generation of so-called internet, where everybody can say his opinion and give it in, whatever he wants to say, every shtus he has on his mind, the whole Metzias of Bria is contrast to Emunah. Contrast to Emunah. More so. It's difficult to understand it, but it's a fact. A fact of life. We live in Olam HaTeva. It's all things that go naturally. And today it's become much more of a thorny issue to understand that everything that's going on today is in contrast to Emunah, because the modern technology brings up new things, new gadgets, new button pressing, and things happen automatically. Communication with the whole world in one shot. You can talk to 10 countries at once, you know, on this line, on that line. So everything becomes more under your hands, as if to say that we are shoylet on what we're doing. At a certain point to say, that's the most foolish thing in the world, because all these gadgets and all these inventions only come from Ma'ase Hashem. Nobody created something new, and yet people get caught up and entangled in all this. And I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you a funny thing. You wouldn't believe it even, Mother. We don't think of it. We have many times journals, even Yiddish journals. I'm not going into names. And I think they have a lot of Goyshash coffers there. Pardon me saying it. It's not Teuredig. They didn't learn Chodesh Halvovos. That's where they picked up the information from. But you know, many times we have in business, people will find a way for you, as a Chassidish guy with a fat tummy, and you say to you like this, so I'm right to the Hutten. Yeah, pardon me saying it, he's well pictured and with a big smile on his face. If you follow my line, you'll be successful. You have this all the time. It gives you ideas how to be successful in life, as if to say it's a guarantee. Just follow his ideas and that. Now, we all know that we have to make our shtadlus. Nothing happens on its own. A person can sit at home and say, Rabbeinu Shalom, let the monk fall. It's very nice to say that, but it might be more because of laziness that he's doing it. You have to be a mamin. But to say to a person, if you'll follow this, you'll surely be successful. Who says? Who says? You know, somebody once ran out of shul in the morning at 100 miles at full speed. You know, he was already taking his twin off in the middle, and he ran in a certain direction. So somebody said to him, why are you running? What are you running for? So I want to make a living. But how do you know you're going to make a living in that direction, perhaps in the other direction? Who tells you where you're going to make your living from? So if a person walks out of shul slowly, as the halacha says, and he puts his emunah in chay olam, in the rebbeinu shel olam, well, you have to go somewhere, so you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you run, that means you say, that's where I'm going to get it. Who says? It might be the other direction. And very often it does happen in business. Not what you think, and not the appointment that you made is going to bring you panosa. And this goes on all the time. But let me get back to what I said before. All these ideas you get today, and then you have other things saying, you know, you deserve it, which is also wrong. Nobody deserves anything. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't deserve anything. He wanted a matnas chinam. You deserve a good vacation, you know, when you want to warm you up for Pesach holidays and so on. Yeah, you deserve it, you don't deserve it. This whole talk is baloney. Baloney talk. And also to say you're successful, you're successful. You know you're going to be successful. You might even turn ill before your success comes up. It's all in the hands of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Then it becomes a difficult thing. So the whole Teva, and Dafke today, because the world is so into Teva, there's so much emphasis put into the Teva, the Emunah becomes more and more difficult. You know, the olden days when he used to work on a farm, and Eden used to do it, and waiting for the rain to come, like we're waiting at Yisrael, you know, then you're living with Emunah. Most I think. But today, you almost don't see God wherever you are. You're full of machinery and all that, and pressing and coming and phoning, and you don't even have time to think for yourself a minute. God, very often, sad to say, does not come into the picture. He doesn't come into the picture at all. You're living in such a network of machinery and all that of it. So where did the Moshe? Now, how can a person know if he's a marmin or not? In this world that we're living in, in this net that we're caught in, how can we know that we are really mamim? You can keep on saying it and claiming, but how do you know you're a real mamim? I think to prove if a person is a mamim, it's a way he doubts. You might think it's a very minor issue, the way you doubt. It's a problem that very few people doubt properly. I'm not here on a negative issue, I'll talk about myself as well. I look around sometimes, I hope not to look around too much, but in doubting, you see, very few people daven really sincerely. I'm not saying those who are busy looking all around all the time. I'm not talking about those who come late. And those who talk in the middle of davening with casual conversations, with laughter, etc. Not even knowing where they are exactly. If we daven without intensity, without the real kavona, and we do it in such a agavdig way, We don't put any effort into it. And once you're there, you're already thinking, when can I get out of the place? This person does not live with Emunah. Elch Eden, the real ones, used to go around all day thinking of the one above. And it was done in a form, the Pesuk state, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somit. There were other Choshev Eden who used to play with their fingers, the Shem Havayah, if you know what that means, that's kind of higher madrigas, but they're constantly connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, in our day and age, it's difficult. I'm not pretending that we're going to have the Shem Havayah in mind all the time, but there must be some time in the day when we're mekayem the Shevisi Hashem and then we solve it. Otherwise, we're a lost case here. We're totally lost. When we get back to Avinu Shemayim, it'll be quite a strange encounter, pardon me saying it. Who I'm dealing with. I didn't think about him all my life here. There's one time in the day when we can rekai in the Shivisi to a certain extent, and that's a tablik. When we come with a preparation with an achonah, I'm now going to spend a while with HaKadosh Baruch Hu face to face, person to person, and I'm going to beg him for all that of my needs. Now, if a person doesn't daven properly, obviously he believes. Because if somebody needs something from someone else, from a boss of a dom, he puts a lot of effort, a lot of preparation until he gets to the person. How he's going to talk and which way. And somebody has to get a job somewhere. So he has to meet up with the director of the whatever firm it is. He'll put in a lot of preparation and he'll think exactly what to say to make a good impression and also to present his bakosh, his request in the best way possible. And imagine he comes in and then he starts talking with somebody in the middle and just casually looking at the person, not even having him in mind. can't expect that he's going to get a good response. So we come to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have casual encounters in the shul, you know, social basis, and we laugh a bit, and then we go back to Davin. I can't forget, I once heard about Boris, Avicii. And I think he's a little fatty, and he likes himself. He's very proud of it. I'm not going into any details about. I had encounters with him in my Rabbonus, but I never. He said, you're never a Bal Choyv. I always answer him on the spot. So once I came into Davening, and he was facing me because he took quite a prominent place in the. He paid for it, or rather. And it was Sukkot Zimra. And I liked to daven Sukkot Zimra with a little Bren, as we say. But he was talking continuously. And then somebody came in after him, one of those, and he sat down next to him. Instead of sitting on his seat and daven a little bit, he sat next to him, and the conversation continued very nicely. I had to take it, I know Braille, but it got to Nishmas, I was getting a bit nervous. But this fellow, he wanted to daven as well. So what he was doing is, he was davening, and at the same time listening to what he had to say, and laughing and enjoying the conversation, then quickly davening again, keep up with the, and then back again. So I went up to him. I did not attack him because it wouldn't help anyhow. He's a shrewd, tip-top. So I said to him, these words I said to him.
How can you talk during davening? You.
What? What?
He wants to know how you could talk to him during davening.
No, he didn't.
I don't have to talk.
You said you did.
What? I just have to say I'm a liar. No, I didn't talk. I like him. You know what I know? You know what's good about him? He's listening. I could have thought he was sleeping. No, I made certain. But I did say something to him, Saturday. What I said to him was these words. Have you finally made up your mind to whom you're talking to? I didn't attack him. I just said, have you made up your mind who you're talking to? Because talking to him and then looking into the Siddur, I said, Rolf, you're right. But he was allowed to talk with you, he hadn't even started. So, if that's davening. So if we come to davening, I don't make too much an issue, I won't get to another point as well as much time I have. But just to say that a person in such a state feels that his whole life is dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's where he's going to gain his emunah in this type of davening? No. The famous no. He'll go out just as he came in, begapo yovein, begapo yetzein. He did not connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu bichlal. So this is the first thing. To prove if we really believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all our needs, and we rely on him totally, it's only if we daven intensely and take the words into the system and think what we're saying and be mekabel al malchus shamayim in the proper way. Otherwise, it's a lost case from the very beginning because it's so difficult, the world outside. If we're not going to gain some inspiration whilst we're connecting, then it's not going to happen. We're not going to get it later during the day. Only then there's a shaykh ha-shivisi ha-shem to make this on. Let me go one step further. This inyan of emunah bitochen, azoy. To understand the difference between emunah and bitochen is not easy. The Chazon Ish has a whole sefer on it, ki yodua, emunah bitochen. And I don't think I've reached the mamish, the pshat, the mitzvah shel Torah, but a certain point, and I want to discuss with the Choshev Yid as well, I think emunah has two nafkei minutes. First of all, emunah is more in theory. To believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a yochid or miyuchad, as the Ramban says in Parshas Bo, he's mashgiach on all that we do. He supervises everything. He didn't give it over to others. To the Mareches HaShomayim, believe in the Chiddush HaOlam, that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, which normally comes about when we see the Nisim HaGdolim, then we become aware that everything, as the Ramban says, Kol Mikreinu Kulam Nisim, Ein Vohem Teva Umin Hogoi Shel Olam Klal, there's no Minig HaOlam. Nothing is governed by the laws of nature. Everything is a mechanish betuve becholgim tomid that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind it. And one day we'll become aware of it fully. But at the meantime, we have all our problems and all the influences from everywhere. So we have to work on it. And this emunah. Bitochen It's more the pshat of practicing our beliefs. We believe, but we have to put it into practice. To show that in your lifestyle, how much what you believe becomes something, a dover shef b'mam, to concretize it, not stand abstractly to think of a ribbono shel olam. Put it into your life, into your dealings, in your behavior, and how you accept things in life, in all ways. It's a very big, big Indian, it needs more than a little conversation here, oh, but that's Yesoy Dat Vorim. Yesoy Dat Vorim is to practice. There's another point between Emunah and Bitochen. Emunah is normally to believe that what happened so far is for your good. Komada, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is in charge of everything, and even seeing what you think was for your bad was really for your good. Bitochen is more to look towards the future. That means, as things are, I'm sure that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you're going to be good to me in the future as well, and put your trust in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Now this is what I want to say. There's more to say to it, but that's what I want to mention just now. Oz Yosher Moshe, going back to the Shira, what we mentioned before, Oz Yosher Moshe, I said it's a Loshen Ova and a Loshen Osit. Where's the Hoiver? Now, to know the Hoiver, to sing, we don't know what song means. Today, you have all the crooners, you have all the sing songs going on, that way, you know, with the discs and all that, are they? At the last of Steinman, Zeche Tzadik with Kodesh Lebroche, somebody came up to him. He wants to make away with all the discing. I'm not going to go into names and what happened and who he is, a famous figure. He believes all the discing are not good for Klal Yisrael, only his, but all the other discs are going around. Therefore, I'm saying, I know what I'm talking about, but he doesn't believe in the discing. He said, everybody has discing. You know what he answered him back? You have to make away with it. It's Mabir Allah Dasa. Rav Chaim said to him, everybody has discing. I don't have it. He was very straightforward. I don't have this discin, you know. Everybody has a discin. I don't have it. But what I want to tell you. So, Emunah and Bitochen, let's go back to singing. There's no such thing in the Torah Stam, singing, just in from one moment to the other to Shira. The Shira of David HaMelech did not come just. It came from inspiration. It came from an inner feeling of Simcha, that the Simcha fills you up till the seam, and then it spills over, as if to say, in the form of Shiro. Shiro is kuloi leiv, that your heart is so rejoicing and so full of simcha that it spills over, like you pour wine into a koyt and it spills over. And it spills over into a form of song. That's only if your leiv and your pnimius is full of simcha. Now let's imagine a person has lived a life, but he had difficult times, and he's always looking forward ahead as well in a gloomy way. Can that person be the Simcha? Because the past is haunting him. He had a difficult past, illnesses, lack of pandos, another thing. And the future is very gloomy, very cloudy, he doesn't see it. So obviously there's no Simcha there. To be able to be the Simcha now at this moment, you have to make sure that your past is accepted in a way that everything is for your good. And also to look forward to the future in a very bright and rosy way, in a shiny way, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will be good to me. This is what Oz Yosher is teaching us. Shira in the Torah is a real simcha. It's not you just take a drug and you start jumping in the air like, you know, all these actors. That's not the point. Shira, the David HaMelech type of shira, is one that is more lepnimius and more lehergishim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you have to believe that what happened in the past was for your good. And Moshe Rabbeinu did come to this recognition when he understood what he thought was Lo Mahari Oiso. Suddenly he sees everything was for the good. And it brought about the redemption, the Koshi Hashibut. And he came with Tavis to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And now he saw, with this Oz, he was Mechaper on the Me'oz Bossi, the famous Chazal. Because then he saw that the past, which he thought was not for his good, turned out for the best. Concerning the future, then you need Bitochen. Because if you might everything believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu till now, well, it's going to be in the future. So here comes Os Teilech Lo Vetech Darkecho. Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I put my trust in you. Kagomula Le'imoi. You're going to be good to me. And everything did for me was good. So taking the past and the future into the present, then you can say Shiro. Then you're a full Mamin and you can say the Shiro. Concerning Miriam, now listen to this. It's a famous vort, and I want to say another little vort. Concerning Miriam, why she comes into the Shira, in such a prominent way that she was the one who warmed up all the women to sing, she had a special feeling towards his shira more than anybody else. The Pasuk says, "Vatisatza v'choisoy merochik l'deyo ma'ye oseloy." Chazal say because she waited at that time to see what's going to happen to her little baby brother Moshe, therefore she was zoicha that Klal Yisrael waited for her 7 days in the Midbar when she was caught up, when she had to put into quarantine. What's a gross chus? Standing and waiting for your little baby brother to take care of him? It's her duty. Why did she get such a big reward for that, Freitman? So I saw the answer like this. She didn't stand there. What she stood was with her bitochen. Because she was the one who prophesied, and she said it to her father, Amram. He said, there'll be a Moshiach and Shal Yisrael is going to be born into our household. And then we came to the point that they had to put Moshe out into the reeds when danger was a dangerous situation, but it's Peneu, Shloshi Rochem, and she had to put him out. So Amram came to her, the Chazal Tzim, said to her, like Top Kual Poner, gave her a little, on the face, a little smack. Hey, Chon Nevuasech, what's happened to your Nevuah? He's endangered now. He won't stay alive this way. So what's going to happen? What's happened to your Nevuah? She didn't waver. She believed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bring about the Yeshua. Against all odds. There was nothing to prove it. But she had this Nevuah and she was a firm belief in it. And Vatesatzav is not stand that she stood. He could have said Vatamoit. Vatesatzav is a loss in Yetzivus. And I've seen this as well, but I said it. Vatesatzav actually stood firmly, steadfast, and believed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help. Even against all odds. And how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu help? That the daughter of Paro was the one who saved him. Which is again against all odds. Because that's the way the Baruch Hashem deals with us. The more we talk and we have in him, the more we trust him and dafk in a way which is supernatural, then he helps us supernaturally as well. In a way that nobody would have ever fathomed or ever dreamt of that the Yeshua should come in such a way. The Chmur of Oyim, what happened there? Yeshua should come in a way of the daughter of Paro saving him. But that was it. But at the same time, things went on. Yidden continued to be in Mitzrayim. And to a certain extent, it wasn't concretized really, because all that her beliefs that had been talking, even though Moshe did become the Manik Yisrael, but Yidden was still under the shibboleth of Mitzrayim, the bondage of Mitzrayim. When was the moment that Miriam, after long waiting, came about to the Akore and saw it clearly, that all that she had been talking on all her life, all the years, is really coming into practice now at the Yam Suf. By the Yam Suf, when the Mitzrayim were drowned into the Yam, and the Yeshua Hashem really came about, that's when she saw that all her bitochen and all her patience that she had all the year, and all her steadfastness, and here she sees Ribbono Shloim as his kumtaros. Here it is. What a happiness it was for her more than anybody else, because she anticipated this with her bitochen. But now she saw it in front of her own eyes, the whole nest of Kriyas Yamsu. So Dafke Miriam, so that's what the Torah says. Miriam came out Achoy Sahara, meaning, because she prophesied when she was still only Achoy Sahara before Moshe was born. And this emunah that she had in her cholam, in her nevuah, now became something real. She saw the Yeshua Azoi. So therefore she went out. This Miriam, Achoy Sahara, who had prophesied at that time, and now she sees the Yeshua. What a wonderful, wonderful feeling she had of simcha to see how the bitochen really helped her along all the way to see the Yeshua Hashem, even though it took a long time. I think. I want to tell you one more little vote. How much do I have? Wait, you go.
Time for a little vote.
For a little vote time? I don't know if I said it here, but I'm spoiled how it is. There's a posuk in Parshas Mishkan on Emunah. It's normal you could talk along, but I have to just choose a few things. In Parshas Mishkan, it says that the women also joined in the Avodas HaMishkan. There are two psukim. A type and a posik. One posik says, "V'chol isho chokhmas leiv v'yodeho tovu." They spin. There is it. Then another posik that says, "V'chol isho asher neso libo is tovu eso izim." Not only tovu, but tovu eso izim. The Gemara says in Shabbos, tovu eso izim, the additional words means that they spinned off the eggs while it was still attached. the wool to the A's on the gold, they spint it. And that requires Chochmo Yeseira, a special skill which normal people cannot do. Chochmo Yeseira it requires. So the question is, why in the first Pasuk, where it says the Chol Ish Chochma Sleif, there it only says Tobu, it doesn't say that they had a special skill. And the second Pasuk, the Chol Ish Asher Esor Libo, it's almost lost in our Pasuk, then it says that they spint off the Izim, they had a Chochma Yeseira. I heard the Pshat, one of the Gedolim, I'm not sure if Rabbi Yankel Kamenetsky might be, I'm not sure. But I heard this Pshat. The Pshat is like this. The first category was these types of women, the Chol Ish the Chochma Sleif, who had the skill to spin. There are certain women who are very handy. They can sew well, they can spin well, they can do all these jobs. Chochmas Noshim. So they approached the work, Avodas HaMishkan, with a feeling, I'm good at it. I'm presenting myself as being a skilled spinner. The Rebbe says, all right, if you think you're skillful, you'll be able to do as much as your skill provides. So they can only do a normal type of spinning. But the second category were those women who were asher esor libo, she could not. She did not have the practical skill to be able to spin well. But what do they want? They want to be part of the Mishkan. So they obviously pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I cannot do it. I'm not skillful, but Ribbono Shel Olam helped me to be able to do it, because I also want to be part of the Avodas HaMishkan. Ribbono Shel Olam said, well, you're relying on me, not on your own capabilities. You want to rely on me, I'll help you in the way I can help. Then you'll have a Chochma Yeseira. You're going to have more than a skill which a general person has, because you're putting your total reliance on me. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Don't think you're in a big shop, the Moshe Groysman Zogt. Rely on me, and I'll help you along in the best way possible. The more. And then, Ishat Esor Libo, is Tobu Esor Izim. They had to do this extra skill of the Izim as well. I told this to a Yid, and he added on the following thing, anecdote, and he said he wants to prove to me how right it is. Immediately on the spot. Rosh Hashanah in Shari Chesed, the youngsters who go around blowing shofar for the old elderly people who cannot come to shul. So, at one year, they forgot someone. An old man in the 90s, and he hadn't anyone blowing shofar for him on Rosh Hashanah. So he came down to this gentleman who told me the story, and he asked him, could you please blow shofar for me? Me blow shofar? I've never taken a shofar to my hand. Certain people, they just can't get a coil out of the shofar. It doesn't go. It can blow and make all funny noises. Not even the kol ha-koil is kosher emotions, but klanish ka-koil. And he said, don't ask me to blow shofar, I cannot. But the Yid said to him, excuse me, I have to hear shofar. Try, you have to try that. So obviously he said, I asked the Ribbono Shel Olam, help me to help this Jew. I want to blow shofar for him. He took the shofar in his hand. He said, I don't know what happened, some miracle happened. He blew flawlessly. Fine, geblossen. He didn't believe it himself. The koilus had an arroz gekommen. He put it to his mouth and the koilus came away. A year later, the same Jew comes along, the old gentleman, Baruch Hashem, who's still alive, and another year in the 90s, and he comes again, she blew for him. She said, no, now he took it much easier. Baruch Hashem, I showed last year that I'm able to blow. So then he started, took the shofar again. I'm a skilled man, I'm a chokhmah slave. Nix! Nix geblasen, eh? You couldn't get any coin out of it. Said, this is it. He proved me that the vote is emes lamito. When I gewusst, dass er kenn ist, he can't do anything. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam showed him what I can do. If you rely on me, I will blow shofar the way I want it. Once you come up with your own kibbeh, that's it. Ribbono Shel Olam, what should I tell you? In Emunah, that's one thing. It's a life's work. You have to learn this forum and talk about it. But it's one of the main issues, fundamental issues, macht Yid Fayid. But let's get back practical. We'll talk philosophical talk all the time. Lomme davnen gut. Let's start off with good filler. I mean, I'm talking very practical. Don't look around, forget about. Sometimes I think people look around all the time in davening. Wherever they sit, they turn around and have a look. So I said to one person, tell me, that's where you're looking. Can he help you when you need something? Can he help you? What are you looking at him? Can he help you along in your need? So look in the right direction. Forget about the people. I made up my mind that I don't look at anybody. Are people sitting next to me? old friends, acquaintances. I don't even know there till after davening. I'm not interested. We'll have to look at him. He's not going to help me in any way possible. Let's start off the Shavisa Hashem and Egg the Summit, and the Rebbe should help us. We should slowly and gradually come to Hakore and Amunah in Hashem, in Zoychezayim, it was Ayid after the.